Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings Wrestling Podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
And it is spring break week, which... Well, I'm on spring break. I was ready for it last week, as you guys know. How's everybody doing?
Just dandy.
Feeling
just
great.
Dandy.
Feeling Allie's great. Here in my house in a separate room for podcasting, but she's been here for the past few days.
She actually hasn't let me out of this room for the whole visit. She has kept me trapped in there. Yeah. So
Really freaks out when you move unexpectedly, so it's just safer if you're there.
Shasta, I keep saying to her, I just keep saying whenever she barks at me again, same girl. Same girl. Same girl this whole time.
It's like you go in the bathroom, she doesn't remember who it is or what they're doing here and has to react.
I was about to say, like, imagine having a brain that small, but it's kind of me. I mean, it's not me. It's like, I guess that's how I respond to things that we see on wrestling. Like, wait, why are they here?
Have we seen that before? Every week.
Oh, many times. Remember that time I was like, oh, it's fun that they're like showing the dark elevation like results. And everyone in our group chat was like, bitch, every week. It's been happening every week for the whole time you've been watching.
Right? Remember that time we were like, how can you tell that it's live? And they're like, it says live on the screen.
Well, I've never covered myself in glory. Let's start out this week by talking about Marina Shafir and Jade. So they wrestled on Rampage. We got a lot of promo buildup from Jade about how if she won, she'd be 30-0. Balloons would rain down from the stadium ceiling, like blah, 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 blah. If I win. It kind of made you think, like, she's not going to win, but she did win. And that is the thing about Jade, is that she always will win. This match featured, there was like some interference from the baddies section that Red Velvet and Kiera Hogan were in again. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Where they like held Marina Shafir against the barrier and like kissed her on her face. Totally. And Mark Sterling got a little hit from Marina Shafir, that kind of thing. And then, so anyway, Jade did win. She's 30-0. Let's start out by talking about, did you guys think that she would lose and or did you want her to lose?
I have done a 360 on, is that right? 180? On Jade.
180. I guess 180, yeah.
I've come around all the
come
way.
Come all the way back around.
I have the same opinion I always do.
I turned and then I didn't like the turn and I went all the way back around.
I now love Jade and I actually ever want her to win. Don't ever want her to lose. And I think that...
She wants her to be a pathetic man.
True, I do like that.
The only thing that could make us love Jade more.
I've decided I never wanted to lose, and I want next year for us to be saying, I can't believe she's 101. Like, that's crazy.
It would be extremely funny if she just never lost.
Full camp. I just wanted her full camp, just wandering around the ring. She's still got the belt. Yeah, no, I'm not on the upside now.
We do praise people for committing to the bit, and you know, she has reached the point where you're like, it is a bit. It's not, it's a bit now, and she's very committed to it. I kind of thought she would lose. I think I agree with you, Leah. I'm not desperately like she has to lose soon anymore. I'm like, okay, well, let's see where we're going, I guess. I did wonder, has she ever had, like, you know, it's bad that we've watched Serena Deeb and Sheeta fight 17 times and they don't fight anybody else. Like, that sucks. But has Jade ever had a feud where it's like she's coming back for seconds, like they're getting into it again and again, or no?
Weirdly enough, it's Red Velvet, which is why it's so weird that she's in the baddie section with absolutely
no explanation.
It's like not even a half a second of explanation.
It's crazy. So crazy. It's like, I'm very happy for them to be friends. Like, it's fun and everything. But yeah, like, they do need to set up something. Like, and it wouldn't take much.
Especially because it feels like just 10 minutes ago, Chris and Red Velvet were like, Layla, you're being so mean. How could you be mean? We're good girls. How could you do this? And then, like, I guess Red Velvet's a bad girl now. So,
you know, once you go bad, that's it. Black and white. Yeah.
I guess that's one of those friendship groups that really just exploded and you're on the outsides and you're like, I don't know what happened. Like, the three of them are friends and now, like, one of them's not an alien. The other one's in the bad girl club.
It's really kind of bad. Like, they're all going heel at once for some reason. Yeah,
something happened. But I don't know.
Separate heel. Like, it's like if you all go heel, you could still be friends. Right. I guess you're like different kinds of heel. Yeah, I think it's pretty crazy that they didn't give us any narrative ligament. That it, I think, Leah, you said it's like it would have taken 30 seconds to be like Red Velvet's like, I'm always getting like booed when I shouldn't be. And Jade's like, well, when you're with me, the boos are going to sound so good, baby.
Right.
Like anything like that, whatever.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I do like, I will just throw this in there. I like that Marina Shafir calls herself the problem.
I kind of loved it. Commentary started saying, they were like, she calls herself the problem. She's waiting for someone to come along and solve this problem, which is like such a weird thing to say, actually. Like, I love it. Like, I'm the problem. I hope someone solves me.
Well, I'm like, that's what wrestling is. Yeah, that's all narrative. That's it's when beautiful. One person is looking around like, oh, I hope nobody comes and solves me.
And I do love her vibes in general. Like, she's really, she's working for me with that hoodie.
Yeah. Yeah, I think she looks great. Well, I'm interested to see what she gets up to. I'm interested if she and Jade will fight again, or I'm like, who is left? Jade's kind of fought every 30-0. She's fought everybody. we're out of girls, so we'll see what happens there. Let's move on to Christian Cage, Jungle Boy, and Luchasaurus cut a promo on Dynamite. So JB, sounding really sweet and like ashamed of himself, explained that he didn't want to sound like a sore loser, but last week's loss against beautiful perfect rat boy Kyle O'Reilly stung a little extra because he knows he could have won. He just got carried away and didn't finish Kyle when he got the chance, at which point Christian Cage, who'd just been standing there arms crossed frowning, jumped in and said, Jack, you don't sound like a sore loser, you just sound like a loser. Long pause. The crowd was booing. I was screaming, cheering, so excited. And then he said, but you're not a loser. And I was like, that's actually okay. So we'll get to that. But and then he said, JB will never lose again because this was a learning experience. I thought, well, that's not what you should tell children. They're going to lose many times in their lives. He invited anybody who wanted to come challenge for the tag team title shot. Ricky Starks and Will Hobbs immediately came on screen and took the bait. What'd you guys like? What didn't you? You loved it. We all loved it, right?
I loved it. I love that Christian's going full, like, weird, disappointed, mean dad. Like, I do think it's, like, a great turn if he starts being sort of disappointed. And calling Jungle Boy Jack, too, was very like, ooh, well, what's happening here? Like, yeah, very into it.
And I don't think that Jungle Boy did this on purpose because I don't think he's capable of doing this on purpose, but the way he said his lines very practiced made it feel like Christian made him say that over and over again. That Christian was like, so, and what happened? Did you get carried away and you didn't finish him? And Jungle's like, I got carried away. And he had to like write it on a chalkboard like a bunch of times. Like,
that so feels funny. Right. He's just like a confused little dog that's like, I don't know why my dad is mad at me. I guess I got really carried hard. Away. Yeah, it's interesting. I think that this week's, like, the you don't sound like a sore loser, you just sound like a loser, long pause, but you're not a loser. That was really good for me. Like, I was like, that's, you know, it's hammy, obviously, but like, that works as like, I sound really mean, but I'm kind of keeping it in check. I wish that he had done better face acting last week and brought a little more of that. Like, I'm a little frowning and not happy as I come down the ramp, but then I frown at you and you look a little cowed, but then I clap your shoulder and the vibe is more like, we'll talk about this in the car.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Right.
He was missing a little of that. Are you guys interested in Ricky Starks and Will Hobbs fighting Jungle Express?
I sure am, because Ricky, like, I feel like Ricky and Jungle Boy are going to be like high flyers, except that like Ricky is so aggro about it that like I do think that he's going to keep Jungle Boy on his toes. That's going to be as very good.
I feel like Ricky and Will have like such like strong personalities. Like they're bringing so much to like promos and like matches that it's like a really fun pairing. Like I do feel like Jungle Express is like or Jurassic Express is like suddenly more interesting than they've been in like 6 months. Just like, oh, like let's, yeah, get into some of these dynamics.
It did really make me feel like I'm like, oh, Ricky can actually carry any scenario that he gets put in. Yeah. Like when Ricky Starks is there, suddenly I'm like, oh, this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Completely. Yeah. Just the most fun dude.
Yeah. Which he's always been very good, but I feel like it, like the degree of it has like really ramped up for me recently.
Yeah. I think since he and Will Hobbs like kind of started doing all this stuff together, like that's been really fun. And maybe I'm just paying more attention to them because they've been doing not quite so siloed with Team Taz, but yeah, it's been
great. They were trapped in that feud with Brian Cage for so long that like it was not boring. I mean, it was boring. So it's like now that they've been released, I feel like it's just more obvious how fun they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I know I put it somewhere else in our schedule, but it's like been running through my brain since he tweeted it, that Brian Cage tweeted at Ricky Starks and was like, "Where's the Philadelphia street fight, my man, Ricky Starks?" And Ricky Starks tweeted back, "It's in Philly, you big dumb bitch."
And that was October 7th, 2021. And Brian Cage has not been on TV since. Absolutely killed his career.
Just destroyed him.
That's the funniest
tweet. It gets funnier every time I think about it.
I know. I think I like didn't even realize it was from then. I didn't even look at the date.
Yeah, it came back in rotation. Because there was a Philly street fight, so it came back again. But like, oh, that's perfect.
You're so funny.
You big dumb bitch.
You big dumb bitch. When I think about Ricky's face looking at Brian Cage like, oh my God, like there's nothing in there. Then I am happy. Do you think that Ricky and Will Hobbs could take the belts?
I never considered that until you put it in the schedule, because I guess I just think of Ricky so much as a singles wrestler, but absolutely they could and perhaps should, because as we reviewed the heel tag teams last week and were disappointed, absolutely they could and they would be absolutely killer with it. Like I want to see Will Hobbs in that fur coat with a belt around his waist. Yes, I do want that.
And Ricky Starks in his tiny trunks with the big belt. Yeah, ooh. Like they'd just be the most fun heel tag belt owners. Yeah.
I know. And we're about to unpack a little bit more of what they've been up to for the past week, but it's like they have been sending me to heaven. They are, I feel like it, you know what? It could be the moment. Tony, tell me, is it the moment? I kind of want it to be.
Yeah.
So let's jump into some of the other stuff that's been, it is kind of interesting that like they have a whole storyline they're doing right now, but now they're kind of jumping to this JB storyline too. Like they're very busy boys at the moment.
Yeah.
So on Rampage, we finally got a Keith Lee. I know we'd gotten one before, but we got a Keith Lee and Swerve promo together where they were really mad at Team Taz and at Taz. I think Keith Lee was like, "I looked up to you about Taz." And Swerve was like, "I didn't." we got some of the dynamics. And they were basically just like, "We're coming for you, Ricky and Will Hobbs." We cut to Ricky, who's been on commentary. So he's sitting down, normal. Will Hobbs, shirtless, enormous, standing behind him, just touching him. Like, this is my man, so I gotta keep an eye on him and make sure you don't try to come jump him. Taking care of him. Ricky, like, did the whole reaction where he's like, we've got a slip with your name on it and we're going to cash it in or something. And then Will Hobbs was just patting him like, "You did such a good job."
A supportive dynamic between the two of them. And it was funny, too, because I feel like Ricky was like, because he was seated, but he was real animated, which is also always like very funny in a promo. Just like,
yeah,
these men are fantastic.
When it was like the classic wrestling thing of like, there's really no reason for Will Hobbs to be there. It's like he heard the promo and was like, "Oh my God, I gotta go be with Ricky."
Ricky needs support.
What did you guys think about the Keith Lee Swerve promo in terms of like building the relationship, which we've talked about wanting?
Yeah, I liked it. Like it could have been more so, like, because they weren't talking to each other so much, but they were talking and kind of interacting in a way that that I did like. Like, I felt like it got both their personalities out together in a way that was, it definitely did feel like movement in that relationship, which was good.
Yeah. I agree. And I really liked, I thought, like, something about the way they were, like, even, it was pretty short, but the way they were, like, lightly interacting and, like, Swerve said something, I think, and then said, like, you taught me that word last week. And immediately I was like, they have a Paris salon in their dressing room, like, where they sit and they talk about literature and art. They share knowledge with each other. They're opening up each other's minds. Like, I was like, you know, that's not what you said, but to me, you've created a rich world now that I'll continue to fill out. So I actually loved that. And then on Dynamite, we got a promo between Swerve and Darby. So they are going to fight tomorrow on Rampage in an Owen Hart qualifier match. This promo, like, implied, which Darby loves to do and I think is smart because we're asking lots of people to do it all the time, it implied that they know each other, that they've known each other for a long time, that they've met and not been, like, nemeses. I don't think the vibe was like, oh, have
well,
they?
It was it was very interesting. I thought that Tony Schiavone was like, you guys have been in Ring of Honor and you've been friends for a long time. And Swerve leaned in and grabbed the mic and was like, I wouldn't say friends. And I was like, immediately, I have to know what that means.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's right. Because it's not like when Darby and Ethan Page had their thing, it was very much like, oh yeah, we've always been furious at each other since, like, you chose conformity and I chose the streets, like, obviously. Right. But this was much more like, just the fact that Tony Schiavone is like, from the outside, it seemed fine. And Swerve is like, you don't know the story.
Right.
That's interesting.
Ethan and Darby did a very good job of, like, you knew pretty quickly what the deal was, and then they just ramped you up more. So I don't know what the deal was with Swerve and Darby. Like, did they fight over somebody? Were they dating and broke up? I have to know these things.
Yeah.
And yet I'm like, willing and ready for them to tell it to me.
Just, like, clenched my little hands over my chest, like, ooh, ah, I love the things I'm hearing.
I know. Well, and Darby's energy was really, like, I haven't quite seen it from him before, because he was very, like, smirky and a little smiley, but in a sort of aggro way that was, like, just different from the energy he's brought with other people, which I was intrigued by, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, it's right for ex-boyfriends to argue about whose house it is. Yeah. So that's a little argument in that camp.
It is very funny to me that it appears that Darby's wrestling career is just him moving from company to company because he can't go back because he's dated his way through the company. And now it's just really awkward. So,
but it's like he doesn't feel awkward. It's like people are like, you're making us feel awkward. And he's like, I've been fine this whole time. I'm just sleeping in my car and fucking who I want. That's my business. I live free. And I die hard. I'm very interested in this match. Darby definitely was pretty smirky. I think it kind of got a weird crowd reaction, I thought. Like, Philly seemed like they, I don't know if they, like, weren't that into Darby or if they were, like, waiting for kind of a stronger line to cheer for and it wasn't, like, the best ending line that he's ever had in a promo. But I thought that the vibes were a little funky.
I did think that his side of the promo was a little bit weak. Like,
yeah,
he was not the stronger one in it. So I think the idea that he didn't have a cheerable line is probably pretty true.
Yeah, I think he needed to do something. Like, it's like, you don't say, like, it's Darby's house and Darby's company. You'd be like, this is my cemetery. Back off. Like, hey, get out of my cemetery.
This is my mausoleum.
Exactly. These are my haunted halls that I haunt. My hallowed haunted halls. Darby, that's confidential from us to you. We think it's like, just lean into the grave stuff, baby. We know you like it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was interesting. Other promo news. So, we got a Toni Storm, Britt Baker, Jamie Hayter promo on Rampage. So we had said in previous weeks that Toni Storm and Jamie Hayter are, like, seem to be, like, maybe the two, like, worst promo givers I've ever seen in my life. And they kind of maybe made each other worse. So on Rampage, they were like, okay, we'll get Britt Baker in there. And she can take a little bit of the load off. And then on Dynamite, it was Toni Storm, Britt Baker, Jamie Hayter, and Ruby Soho. So they're kind of like, they keep not quite working, and they're like, throw another woman in there. Let's get another woman in there and see how it goes. Which, in fairness, like, Britt and Ruby did most of the talking in this one, and they can talk.
Yeah.
They're very good talkers. Possibly, well, two of the best women's talkers, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do any of you remember the content of these promos, or...
I only remember Britt coming up and being like, now don't leave when we're talking. I have my things that I need to say, and don't you dare leave. And then they ended up leaving in the only very funny Toni Storm moment of the night. Or no, Ruby said it, where she was like, they told you not to leave, but then they just walked out on us. And it was like, they was acted funny. So outraged by it. They were like, this is bullshit.
And there was a cute part where Ruby Soho did like kind of like, you guys are always talking about you, and like she did like a little hip thrust, like, and then Jamie Hayter like kind of flipped up like the front of Britt's top to like look at her crotch, and like Britt like really genuinely laughed, like it looked like she was breaking. I thought that was cute, but
that's very cute. Yeah, great. So we don't, what I've gathered here, I loved everything you got shared with me. We have no idea what these promos were about.
No.
They don't want to like fight, each I guess. Other, and they want to fight for sure. Yeah. So, and that is, you know what? That's fine. Toni Storm is the worst of the promo.
That's quite bad.
Yeah. She has quite a bit of work to do.
I felt like she was maybe not quite as bad this time, except I think it was just because like she didn't talk that much, and maybe I've sort of gotten used to it in a bad way, you know, where it's like, it's just how she is, but it's real bad.
You know, it's hard when it's like people who are really natural, like, good, I mean, they might put a lot of work in, but like they are good at it, at doing promos, like they have like ending lines that land and that hit, but it doesn't feel like they leaned on them, like they're looking at you like, this is gonna get you, like you're just like, yeah. Oh yeah, and it got me. This is a group where Toni and Jamie, kind of everything they say, they're like, and that's gonna land. And it's like, ladies, yeah. When you tell me it's gonna land, that's when it don't.
And I think Toni in particular uses a little like gotcha voice that like really makes it worse, where she'll be like, and oh no,
it's so bad, it's really bad.
You're right, it's a little, there's a little secondhand embarrassment. It's like, oh, we gotta tone that down.
Yeah.
I did love when did Britt drag Jamie Hayter off at the end of this. That's what I like, and someday I'll see those women fight each other, and that's kind of going to be it for me. You won't be hearing from me on this podcast again. You won't be hearing from me in my life again. It'll all be over for me, so look forward to that. Okay, we got an anonymous, is that right?
Yeah.
Yes. We got an anonymous message on Tumblr this week asking very sweetly, I love that you guys are like pretty worried about this, asking whether the Cash versus Dax FTR match could maybe change our opinion of FTR. Like, you guys are out there being like, something's got to get through to them.
We're swimming against the FTR zeitgeist here on this podcast.
So we are happy to discuss our feelings about this match. We will quickly recap what happened. So Dax and Cash spent all week on Twitter, like sending each other messages, just like, this man is everything to me. It would be an honor to lose to this man. To this man, my mentor, like my best friend, like the only man in the world that matters. If I lose to him, like that'll be the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Like these, they were out of control.
Apparently on their road to Dynamite, they spent their entire segment crying.
All right. You know, you gotta, at the very least, you gotta say like, wow, I wish some of my favorites would do that.
They're really kind of taking it over the top. It's like to the point where it's like, oh, okay, buddy, like reel it in.
I know. Well, I just feel like they are trying to like catch us. They're like, if we work at it, we can get those girls.
We know TBD. What they like.
The match was technically very good, right? Like, I know that sounds mean, but I feel like I'm saying it a lot where I'm like, now I can kind of see when a match is good, technically. It was.
Yeah, it was fine. The only thing...
Leah's like, she can't see. It was whatever.
The one thing I wanted to bring up was that, did you guys notice that Cash came out of the heel tunnel and Dax came out of the face tunnel?
No.
Why? I did not.
Why? Why did they do that?
Huh. Well, because they didn't want to come out hugging each other. It seems like they would love to come out hugging each other.
Yeah. Tony let them? I thought they would come out like holding hands and then only be separated when the ref separated them. But
do you think Tony was standing on the inside and was like, guys, you're going to fight each other. You can't go out. I said you can't go out together. Separate.
I don't know, like, if this is like they're tweeners and so like this is how they're signifying that they're tweeners. I don't understand. Hmm. I don't understand anything about what they're...
I do like thinking that like one member of FTR is definitely worse, meaner than the other member.
Wait, so which one came out the heel tunnel?
Cash came out the heel tunnel.
That's the baby. Hair. That's the baby. That's, well, hair. We've got to get into that in a minute.
Oh, but yeah.
The younger hair. One.
Yeah. Hair came out of the tunnel. Bald hair. Came out of hair came out of the heel tunnel. Bald came out of the bad boy tunnel. Yeah.
That doesn't seem right to me, but sure.
Good yeah. boy.
Okay.
I've used so many like alternate names for things I've completely lost it.
Good boy hair, bad boy hair,
bad boy hair, bald. Good boy bald. Yeah.
Good boys are bald.
Is that as we always say?
Good boys famously bald. Okay. There was a little narrative tension in this match. So there was like Dax, like, the Cage Side Suits recap said thumbed in the eye, and I was like, I don't know what that, I guess, but he thumbed him in the eye, and then Cash was a little like, oh, you thumbed me, and it seemed like they might be mad at each other, but then a lot of the match was them doing, like, mirrory grappling moves, where it's like, I know you better than I know myself, like, your body's more familiar to me than my own, how could I ever defeat it, and then they kind of had some hesitations about, like, how hard can I go against, like, the man who owns my heart, like, that kind of thing, and then, Dax won, and this I'll read from the recap, which said, when the dust settled, they hugged without any hint of animosity to remain friends. Okay. Would you guys say, did this change your opinion of FTR?
Oh, big time. I'm very, very hot. Hot.
Oh, okay. No. FTR.
Okay, you're hot for FTR.
Very
now.
Hot.
You're an
spicy
FTR head.
Hot.
Spicy. The no, thing of course is- not. It was garbage.
Thank God.
Yeah. I have to say that I was like, maybe she's telling me truth right now. I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm like, which part of this was the lie and which part is the truth? I don't know. But, okay, good. So you say garbage. Okay. That's pretty damning. Anne?
Absolutely garbage. Like, I was just like, this match, I mean, I guess maybe not garbage, but it was just like, this match should be doing things for me, and it's doing nothing for me. It's like somehow they're doing it all right. I mean, maybe it is like when the dust settled, they hugged without any hint of animosity to remain friends. It's like, yeah, that's not narratively interesting. It's like, yeah, these men love each other. Like, lots of people love each other. I don't care.
Yeah, well, it is giantly. It's giantly hypocritical, because how much did we love that best friends match where they had to fight each other and they kept interrupting themselves in the middle of the match to do their hugs? That's funny. That's beauty. But
they're cool. Yeah. They're funny. We love them. I loved all of that. Yeah. Of
when course, the FTR do it. No.
Not interesting at all. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I accept that they love each other, of course. Like these
it's
men,
undeniable. We don't deny science.
Yeah. Exactly. We can see. Like, we've can got see it with between our eyes. Us. We've got six eyes and the additional two of producer Marjorie here. So yeah, we can see that they love each other. They're not for me. They're like, I think they're there to teach men about healthy intimacy. They're like a teaching tool for men. Yeah. Is that right?
I think that might be right. Yeah.
It's like if they cried openly in their road to Philadelphia or whatever, I'm like, I hope lots of them saw that and thought, wow, maybe I should cry more. Tell my friends I love them.
Tell my friends I love them. Feel comfortable hugging and holding hands with my friends.
Yeah, I don't need to see it when it happens, but.
No, that's between them. That's between men. That's between two men that love each other, and it's not for me.
Yeah. Can we talk about a little something that Anne googled during this match? We have been told for years now that there's a significant age difference between Cash and Dax. One is the papa and one is the baby. And I kind of thought that they were in like their 50s and 40s.
Yeah, I definitely thought they were at least in their 40s. And I Googled in the middle of the match, I was like, how old are these men? Because like, I'm like, clearly they're the generation like above, you know, like the Young Bucks and the Best Friends and stuff. And one of them is 34 and one of them is 37. So like, that's not an age gap. That's the same age.
So The only thing that we found even mildly horny about FTR isn't even true.
No, not even true. It's like we were
a 34-year-old loves a 37-year-old. No one would ever comment on it.
And people have been talking about this like it's like Cash and Dax, like Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, get the hell out of town. Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly have a 10-year age difference, as God intended. Bobby takes care of Kyle.
That's an age gap, 37, 34. And the fact that, like, Dax Bald is 37 years old, the same age as Matt Jackson and Orange Cassidy, like, that's not right. Gosh. That can't be right.
Should we even keep talking? We're just canceled now. Kind of all over for us. Yeah, it is insane. Like, some people God looks at and he makes them so beautiful as they age, Matt Jackson. And some people God looks at and he takes their hair away. All of it. For Matt to have such luscious hair and Dax to have none.
So Matt, are you suggesting that men with good hair genes are in some way blessed?
The chosen one.
And men with bad hair genes have been cursed. Is that your hypothesis?
By God, I think was her hypothesis. Not just cursed, not by Danhausen, by God himself.
It's all over for me. I don't know. I'm just saying stuff. I'm only ever just saying stuff. I don't know what it means.
I just learned that there's a lot of ways to be 37 in this world. There's just a wide variety of ways.
I'm just worried that our legion of 37-year-old bald men listeners are gonna flee.
There's many beautiful bald men.
Yeah.
I mean,
Michael Rosenbaum.
Michael Rosenbaum.
That was your first thought?
You're not going to go with like Bruce Willis or something.
That's the only
like,
bald man I could.
Bruce Willis was your first one?
Bruce Willis is a handsome man. What's
Stanley
your first?
Tucci, yeah. Is he bald?
I would have said Stanley Tucci, well, you ding dongs.
In my defense, Bruce Willis is a more movie star handsome than Stanley Tucci. I mean, of course, Stanley Tucci is better.
That's not. And no.
All right. When we get out of here, I'm pulling the group chat and nobody is going to give any context. We're just going to ask some questions. Sure, no, I'll sure, pull sure, Twitter. Sure. I'll pull Twitter.
It. You'll pull Twitter. Oh,
I'll
all
pull
right.
Twitter.
Well, do both. Hey, do ask both. Everybody. That'll I might want to be clear. Michael Rosenbaum
But
was.
Is the poll like who's can more I, attractive or. I'm sorry.
Can I
I'm
clarify
sorry.
My sexual.
Yeah, please. Clarify your sexual difficulties related to Michael Rosenbaum. I love that.
Well, the difficulty is that I actually don't, I'm not sexually attracted to him. So it's just that Michael Rosenbaum, like, was so, like, he kind of shouldn't have a head because it looks pretty bad with hair, too. But like,
he shouldn't have had a head.
I would say it looks worse with hair.
Yeah, I think so. But maybe that's just because we're used to it without. But it is such an intensely bald head on purpose that it's in there permanently. It's like, what's a bald head? Like, it's a cartoon example of a bald head. But I'm not sexually attracted to him, and that's the difficulty.
And, well, I think we've made it a lot better, for sure.
Yeah, definitely much better. And it's not, and Dax is just kind of like, he's kind of like a bulldog of a man.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think we're really good at describing wrestling matches.
Oh, yeah. It was technically a very good match. Go watch it, you know,
yeah,
if you want to,
love
I guess.
To watch it.
37 and 34, they're the same age.
Unbelievable.
So they're doing, like, Cash just likes pretending to be baby.
Yeah,
okay, well,
don't
get me interested.
Don't get me interested. Don't threaten me with a good time.
Producer Marjorie, can you cut that?
Cut the whole thing, Producer Marjorie. We never answered this question about whether we're into FTR now. We acknowledge they're in love. Move on. Let's move on. Sheeta fought Serena Deeb. Match 7001. She was... Set the match aside for a moment, okay? Sheeta came out. She has been wearing for a long time... The pants with the swoop, it's like they're the little, you know, whatever.
Gauzy,
you know them. You know them just as we do. I hated them. I was like, this is the worst costume you've ever had. I hated
it. It wasn't good.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't good.
Distractingly bad.
She comes out last night. She is wearing the shortest little short shorts you
jean
ever
short
seen.
Shorts.
Jean short shorts. Mm-hmm. You know they got a little stretch to them.
And not only that, they were cut off. They had a rough edge, which, as we all know, is the sexiest kind of edge you can have.
A rough edge, yeah, that's a sexy jean.
Stretchy jean with a rough edge, baby.
That is what I'm talking about. Okay, we're joking, but this was truly the hottest thing that's ever happened to us.
No, she
was
insane. So good, and she had a little. It's like a bodysuit thing, but it cut up so high. So it looked like our friend Aaron pointed out in the group chat, and this was very good catch, Aaron. It looked like the Pretty Woman outfit that Julia Roberts is in. Julia was not in Pretty Woman. Julia Roberts was in at the beginning of the movie, which is a great outfit that
it's
looks
so good.
Yeah,
to the and eye. Then she had the face paint that goes down into the leotard, and it like so seamless.
Yeah. It was like those cherry blossom kind of look. It looked so good, and into the leotard was fantastic.
She came out and she said, "Ladies, never forget about me." And I said, "I never do. I never do."
Even when you're trapped with Serena Deeb for 1,000 years,
Sheena, you could come out in a trash bag and fight Brian Cage. And I would be, there's a lot going on there, but you could do anything and I'd remember you. But in this outfit, I will remember you more than ever before. She looked really good. Mm-hmm. She fought Serena Deeb, who was also there.
Reportedly, I didn't see her.
didn't really notice her. Apparently, she threw white powder. I did see this. She threw white powder in Sheeta's face. I like that everyone has just had to call it white powder. Like, what in the world of kayfabe? What is it?
Cocaine.
White powder, cocaine.
Cocaine. I was like, when this happened, like Allie and I were watching together, and I was like, have we seen anyone like use powder before? And we don't think we have. Leah might remember if there's any powder. Yeah, I was like, this feels new, but not that exciting. Weird. I don't know.
Yeah, I've never seen it before, and I kind of hope it's cocaine, because that would be the funniest part of a match where it's like, I can't wrestle anymore because I'm on the cocaine.
I got the cocaine in my eyes. Yeah, it blinded Sheeta. So she was swinging the kendo stick around and almost hit Aubrey, which I did think was funny. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I believe that Sheeta is going back to Japan for a while again. Is that right?
Yeah, apparently she has a wrestling date in Tokyo very soon, so
I know what you mean, but I was like, oh, date. I love that for her. wrestling date. Do you guys think this is the end of Sheeta Deeb? I thought the end of Sheeta Deeb Sheeta would win, so like they keep like honestly jerking me around where I'm like, I want this to be over, but Serena Deeb shouldn't be the winner.
I know. It's obnoxious. Crazy.
I was very annoyed when she won. Yeah, this whole feud has been so, like, I mean, part of it is just, like, I can't pay attention to because it's so boring. So it's, like, I don't know if it has a point, but it just feels like it's, like, has there been any forward movement? It just seems like it's just been, like, and yet again, like, they won't leave each other alone.
No, I think that's, at this point, not just because of the new costume. I think that Sheeta has really been working on like trying to have like some ramping levels of intensity, which has been like sometimes effective, sometimes not. But like to me, it has felt like she's trying to like do some character deepening. Serena Deeb is the professor, I guess. So I don't really know what's going on there. But yeah, it hasn't been like it's just a lot of fighting for not a lot of like people being like, this is why I specifically have beef with you, you big dumb bitch.
Exactly. That's all we want from our fuses.
Oh my gosh, we got another great message this week. Was this from someone or was this also anonymous, Leah? That about the belts being MacGuffins?
Oh yeah, it was an anon that right, I think it was like Sunday afternoon, was like, the belt are MacGuffins, and I was like, fuck yeah they are.
Yeah, that was exactly that was right on the money. That was very good, very good assessment of what we had kind of stumbled around trying to say.
Okay, I think I said, I was like, oh, that's a much more concise way to just say the belts are nothing. You could buy one anywhere.
You know, when you have a podcast, it's fun sometimes when like you're not doing a good job to imagine someone listening and just trying to be like, they're MacGuffins. Say that they're MacGuffins. Say that they're MacGuffins. And it's like, we won't. We never will. We're not going to say the thing we should say. We're going to say something about like pretending to be baby. Eddie Kingston fought Daniel Garcia. Speaking of babies, Eddie Kingston fought Daniel Garcia on Rampage. Daniel Garcia is really going through something where he wants Eddie Kingston's attention so badly.
So badly.
I don't know that even he knows where that's coming from inside him. He knows that he wants to fight Eddie. He wants Eddie to see him and teach him something. And so we did. So we watched that match. I watched it with my eyes. I watched it. I did enjoy it. Thoughts? Guys? Okay, guys. Thoughts?
Also watched it.
We all watched it. Okay.
Boy, people love to get obsessed with Eddie Kingston. Like, Punk also brought him up again this week, even though, like, Eddie is nowhere involved in that. It's just like, yeah, yeah.
You guys because love of Eddie. His beautiful eyebrows that keep getting called out on cage side seats, which Daniel Garcia also tweeted about, I believe.
Yeah. He won't. So beautiful and for what?
So they can look all the better to look at you with, Daniel. Eddie did crush Daniel Garcia.
And then
it was good.
Very easily.
Say it.
And then at the end, made a point of being like, this wasn't about you, Daniel Garcia. This was about Chris Jericho, which made Daniel Garcia so upset because the only thing he wants is Eddie Kingston's attention. He's like, whip me for me. Don't whip me for Chris Jericho.
That's right. The heart of narrative. To get what you want, not in the way you wanted it. To not be seen or known by the only person whose attention matters to you for reasons you don't understand. Hello.
Yeah.
This is why we tell stories. Am I right?
That's right. And Eddie just destroyed him and then held his head up to the camera and made look him at look
the,
at
oh
it.
Oh my God. Look at the camera. I said, Eddie, on TNT? On TNT television? Okay. Then they had a promo, the whole Jericho Appreciation Society and feud crew and feud. You know what I mean? Everyone, the whole gang was there. Every person.
Jericho loves to set up a conference room table in the ring and have a little skit.
He really feels most comfortable when there's somewhere to sit down. He really needs that. So they were allowed to promo as long as they didn't touch each other, which is always a good restriction to have. Daniel Garcia was psychotically fixated on this and kept saying, like, you can't touch me, you can't touch me. I mean, he's doing some really good work.
Every time he said, talk to me, baby, I lost it. I was ascending to a new level of perception.
And Eddie was really, he was like staring down Jericho, but like the 2.0 guys and Daniel Garcia were all trying to get in his face at the same time. So Eddie was basically doing kissing pose with like four men at once, which is like real next level work from Eddie.
Yeah, that is like to go from Tony Storm to Eddie Kingston. It really shows you. It really shows you the breadth of
the full
range
of
the good, the bad, and the ugly, and the beautiful eyebrows. Somebody in the cage side seats comments, which I only was seeing, I want to be clear, I don't read the comments on that site, but for some reason it, like when I was searching for like specific things, it would only show me the comments, so I accidentally saw them. Someone was being like, the thing about Eddie Kingston is he only ever does the same thing and that's boring. And I was like, you need to get right with yourself and you need to meet God.
That's
you do need
stressing
to.
That anyone because would
if
say this, that.
If it's not the only thing you want to see and you don't like seeing peak performance in a man,
that's right.
I guess it's your business.
Yeah.
Some people, they don't understand.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Do we have anything else we want to say about this? Like, there's more things we could say. Eddie and Punk have both been invoking each other lightly in interviews. Punk had mentioned Eddie, like Eddie's like a fly, like he's just like fucking Eddie Kingston earlier in the night. We'll talk about that, not that, but that promo later. I am hopeful that we're going to come back to that Eddie Punk fight feud at some point, not necessarily imminently, but I like that they both are like, yeah, we know you liked that. We know that worked.
And then it is kind of like, yeah, that guy really, really got under my skin like that. I don't like that guy. Yeah. That's good.
The only bad thing I will say about this is, did you guys feel like how good this promo was completely undercut by them jumping Eddie in the parking lot later.
That felt, we'll talk about it. That
oh, is it later?
No, it's not. Just that I think someone had said, what do we feel like that was maybe tacked on because they had time concerns based on the Hangman stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that wouldn't surprise me at all if it was added for that reason. Because I agreed that promo did nothing for me. And actually, like, I was pretty mad about it.
Yeah.
Because actually, we will come back. You know what? Let's come back to it.
Okay.
Because we'll come back to it in the super late section.
Okay. Yeah. It definitely felt tacked on, though. It was like, I don't think this is additive. Yeah. Should we say our friends Caroline and Beth were at this in Philly. They were at the show, and apparently when Chris Jericho was sitting in the chair and Eddie was like looming over him and standing up, a guy behind them yelled, "Put your dick in his mouth," which is pretty funny.
I mean, you know, sometimes it's just kind of what's happening. But I would say I don't want to see it. That's not what I want to see.
That's Chris not Jericho. My first choice.
No, but I agree. It's kind of what was happening. let's talk about some other disgusting heels, including Chris Jericho. So Sammy Guevara and Scorpio Sky had their ladder match, rematch for the TNT title. I do not remember why Sammy was immediately willing to do a rematch. I like that it's like, it's kind of a hot potato situation with the TNT title where it's like, maybe you're not allowed to say no to a rematch. I don't know. Everyone always gets one. Mm. But Sammy and Ty Conti did a makeout promo in the first half of Dynamite. They did sloppy makeouts. And then they came out for the main event and they did kind of more sloppy makeouts. Mm. And then they made out some more during the match. I loved this. To me, that's what wrestling is, baby.
Just love to see some sloppy tongue right on national television.
The nastiest tongue you've ever seen in your life. Scorpio Sky did win this match, which is good. That's very relieving to me. So he is the TNT champion again, and Sammy again is not. Some plot relevant stuff. Paige VanZant came out to attack Ty Conti after Ty Conti attacked Dan Lambert. They did some like boy girl stuff where the girls rode the boys up the ladder and then did what commentary called, and they'd love to say this, hockey fighting at the top. Is it different than normal fighting? I don't know. And then at the end afterwards, Frankie Kazarian came out dressed all in black, like he thinks he's in the super elite, and I think is going to maybe fight Scorpio because of that promo they had last week. I don't know. Thoughts on the match, and especially let's start with the intergender, like the what the girls were up to.
Well, it sucked. Yeah. I'll just say that. I did not like that spot where they were riding the boys up the ladder. Like that was like actively offensive to me, where I was like, I hate this so much. I hate girls being the accessories. I hate it so much.
It did just feel like really pointless.
I really dislike Paige VanZant. I just feel like, I mean, I guess she's part of the whole Dan Lambert universe, but it's just like, all of this is unpleasant.
Yeah, I actually know. I feel like I don't recognize Paige VanZant. Like when she comes on screen, I couldn't identify her in a lineup.
I think she looks exactly like the little sister in Happy Endings.
I can see it.
It's Happy Endings, the sitcom. One.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. do you guys think this was like a more boring ladder match than other ladder matches we've watched, right?
Yeah. I did not process a single thing that happened until the last 3 minutes, to the point where like Sammy almost had his hand on the belt and he was almost gonna win, and Scorpio tilted the ladder and knocked him off. Yeah. That was the first thing that I clocked happening in that ladder match.
I definitely felt like the last couple minutes like definitely like picked up, and there were some cool spots and stuff and a little bit of tension, but the first whatever two-thirds of it, I was like, this is the most boring ladder. Like I usually love ladder matches, and I felt like, why is this ladder match sucks? Like, because, like when Sammy and Cody had a ladder match, like, it's like, I hate both of them, but it was like a good match.
It's a match. It slapped. Like, yeah.
Well, that is because our mentor and wise man, Billy Gunn, once said, if all you do is spot, 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 once you stop doing the spots, they stop being interested in you.
It's true.
You
have to do the work. So true. You're right.
You are Billy Gunn.
Yep.
Leah, that is exactly right. And that was spot, spot, spot. And this one was not. And we didn't give a shit.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, great.
Yep.
I do think it's like, I'm just really just never going to get over in this. The fact that like, that Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page are like, we're husbands. We're devoted mm-hmm. heel husbands who love to mm-hmm. cornhole together.
Yeah. And they're delighted by each other. They're so happy in each other's company.
Right. But when it's time to, like, it's like, but a boy can't fight a girl. So mm-hmm. when it's time for Ty Conti to need to fight someone, we've got to get another girl in there who has no emotional attachment to what's going on at all. And it's just like, mm-hmm. literally, I'm so sorry. You know what? I won't say it, but I don't like it. It upsets me. It's like narratively, it sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed.
It just is whatever. I don't. So anyway, whatever. Scorpio Sky has the match. Scorpio Sky had the match and has the title now. I hope this is the end of the comedy back and forth. TNT I know. Belt.
Yeah. I did think it was very funny that Scorpio just took it back right away, and I was very happy because, like, I hate Sammy, but yeah,
I was gonna
like,
flip out. Like, enough of that. Actually, like, not. Yeah. I don't know that I support what's been going on with that belt, but it's like it can't land with Sammy. We've got to get it away from Sammy.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously, it was very satisfying to hear how strongly Sammy was getting booed in Philly.
And Scorpio was getting cheered. Like, he got a chant, I think, which made me be like, is he face turning on this? And Leah, you raised a point that was so horrifying to me, and I'll take it away, sister.
Well, the dark world is that Scorpio and Ethan break up. Scorpio goes back to SCU with Frankie, and then Ethan is bitterly left with Paige and Dan Lambert. Oh. But also thinking about this, there is a bright world in which
yes, tell me of the bright world,
please.
Dan Lambert goes away. All right, away we blinked
that
him
is
out
the
of
bright
existence.
World.
It would be mildly funny if it was like, okay, so Scorpio and Frankie have been together for a very, very long time. Frankie is his old wife, kind of dumpy, goes to all the PTO meetings.
Okay.
Frankie has raised their Scorpio's children. Yeah. Right. Scorpio had a midlife crisis, ran away with Ethan, got a motorcycle. Yeah. Bad boy. Full bad boy. Yeah. Now, Frankie's back in town. He got a nice suit. He's dressed up. No more dumpy Frankie. He's like, come be a face with me. Come do the right thing.
Remember the life we built.
Remember the life we built. Mm-hmm. You have a mortgage. Come be with me. Meanwhile, Ethan's like, no. We love to go on vacation.
Oh no, we're a full-time vacation couple. That mortgage life is not gonna work for us. We're on vacation.
We're vacation boys, right? Yeah. And so that is Scorpio's run as Chip, as he's just trying to figure out his marriage situation.
I really thought that you were gonna get all the way to your like, and then like they realize they can all be together, and I was like, don't feel like ready to say that I want to see like Frankie Kazarian in a couple. I'm not saying you couldn't. You know what? If we're in the bright world and that happens for 5 months or whatever, you could get me there. Hey, Frankie, woo me. Okay.
Yeah, I'm ready. Frankie is another person that I'm like, yeah, he's like, he's Christopher Daniels' age. He's like 50, 55. He's also young. I mean, it's just because he's so tan that his like skin is like shoe leather. He's also pretty young. So, I mean, he's got some years left in him.
He's got some years left. That's right.
The Bucks are always saying to us, they're like, we're pretty much dead now. And as we know, they're only 38 and 34 or whatever. Well,
actually, we'll Frankie Kazarian, he's 44. Yeah. So he has some years left in him.
He has some years
right.
left in him. He's not as dumpy as he once was. He did get dressed up. He did look
That's
nice.
That's right.
And
he put his nice clothes on and he showed up and
he
said,
come be with me.
I'm still trying.
He was Sandy at the end of Grease.
That's right.
You better shape up, baby, because I need a man. And the heart is set on you.
Scorpio was interested.
Wow. Okay, well, you know what? We'll see how it develops. Rich, I love the word pictures that you painted for us. Mm-hmm. It is unfortunate that if there's one thing that we've learned from the past 7 to 8 years, like, we're in the dark timeline, so it's unlikely that we'll go to the bright place, but...
You know, everything could be new, you know? It's April. It's going to be May.
That's right. We're setting our May intentions, so...
Setting our May intentions.
Okay, we will, this is the last thing we'll do. So we'll talk about what was going on with the Super Elite this week. So Adam Cole had a match against Ishii from New Japan on Rampage. That's nothing to us because we don't really understand enough about it. It seems like OC and Jay White, who showed up, are like maybe building to some kind of a match, I'm guessing. That's all I got. Then on Dynamite, we had our 10-man tag, which was the whole Undisputed Super Elite and just a bunch of baby wrestlers who were never going to win the match, of course. Anne and I completely forgot about the Scorpio Sky Sammy Guevara match. So when that match came on, we were like, wow, do we get a whole half hour of this? And then like we're like, a half hour of this? That doesn't seem right. So
real disappointment for us.
Even shorter than I thought it would be. So pretty much nothing happened in this match except that there were some interfaction disagreements between the Bucks and Red Dragon, mostly during Pitcher in Pitcher, which I hated. And Adam Cole was like, not really a part of the dynamic. And then after the match, Adam Cole presented everybody with new Undisputed Super Elite shirts and was like, put them on. We're a family. Put on your new shirt so we all match. And everybody did. Matt Jackson had a little, like, he did it pretty easily, but a little hammily. Like, yeah, okay, I'll put on the fucking shirt. Sure, why not? Yeah, I'll put on the shirt. What'd you guys think about all of this?
It's not a good shirt. I won't be buying that shirt.
I won't be buying that shirt.
I own a few Young Bucks shirts. I won't be owning that one.
They shan't get my money.
And I know they're counting on it. Listen, I know they're counting on their milk money from me, and they won't have it.
Wow, they're probably really disappointed. They're not going to get their milk money from you.
Yeah. I know. I thought the whole match was just a little, like, mildly disappointing. Just because, like, I thought there'd be, like, big conflicts. And, like, there were some conflicts, but it was, like, it felt pretty short and kind of over. Like, I don't know.
Everybody talking about it was like, this is going to be a disaster. I can't wait. And I was expecting a beautiful disaster. And it was exactly. Fine. And honestly, this was the worst Bucks gear that I have seen in a long time. It makes their legs look like stumpy little tree lumps. I didn't mind
Matt Jackson's thighs. I thought they looked okay.
They look short and dumpy.
I agree. I was looking more at Kylo's, but...
I did like the reveal from Brandon Cutler's wife that she stitched Live Laugh's super kick on their butts.
So
which,
funny.
Yeah. That was very sweet.
That's good.
Yeah, that felt right. I agree. It wasn't their best gear because it didn't feel like it wasn't saying anything about them. And, you know, not to sound however I sound, but the Young Bucks gear usually says a little bit about what's going on with them. And this felt kind of lifeless in that regard. Like
it was a little split the difference right down the middle, like nothing extreme. Yeah.
It's like Live Laugh Super Kick. Of course, that's great work. But if we think about it as like Live Laugh Love, like they went to Marshall's and got this gear. They were like, we got to put on gear. So we go to Marshall's. Yeah. This is gear. We put it on. It's just you got the art at Marshall's. You put it on the wall. Live Laugh Love in my gear. It didn't say here we are, which actually kind of adds up with what's going on with them right now, because they are a little opaque to me at this moment where it does feel like we're in a bit of a holding pattern. And after their trials of losing to FTR, it does feel like they don't want to show me what's going on with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which that's right. They're in hiding a little bit. They're keeping their emotions to themselves. Yeah. So.
And I will respect that once I see them stop hiding and know what they were hiding from me.
Because you'll know they'll show it eventually. Yeah, but it is a little... Yeah.
And this is the final thing is that Hangman did get COVID this week, so he wasn't at the show. So he was clearly supposed to do a promo with CM Punk after the FTR match that opened the show, because Punk was on commentary. And then afterwards, they had to do like a little like video promo. And then Punk did a pretty weird promo around the ring. Apparently, did Sarah say anything this about to you?
Yeah, so I guess originally Meltzer just said that things had to be majorly rewritten after COVID, and then I guess last night's, this is Thursday, so Wednesday night's show, he clarified that Rampage had to be rewritten, which I'm not exactly sure. I don't know which one of these matches were like the fill-in matches, but, you know.
Okay. Well, that makes a lot makes more sense because, yeah. like, I was like, I think maybe they had to add or change some timing because I think that a actual Punk Hangman promo could have been longer and they could have gotten into some meat. Mm-hmm. But I was like, majorly rewritten.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. It's like they went from a dual promo to a solo one. It doesn't seem like a huge overhaul. Yeah. That
okay, makes great. Sense. Well, now my heart and mind are clean and clear. And that's all we got for the week.
Oh, also, Julia Hart was out there with the 10-man tag with her full eye patch on and being very goth. So I'm very excited that she's still being Attitude Dark
Heart. I know. I love that she's always like sitting on the stoop of the ring stairs, just glowering.
It's perfect.
But there's a point where I'm like, isn't anyone going to ask her what's wrong?
I know.
Right. Well, she's trying so hard to get someone to ask.
Like, it is kind of like that the male wrestlers are like, if we can't fight a woman, we certainly can't talk to her. Okay, guys. Did we miss anything that you guys were dying to talk about?
No. Nope.
You got it all? Okay, I love to hear it. I've been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
And this is Tunnel Talk. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme is by Chris Gorkin. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod, via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe. Oh, God, this is going rough for me. And subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And come back next week.